B-Pod Studios.
For the latest podcasts, for the latest sports news, and for Tutcher and Rich, download the 98.5 The Sports Hub app now.
To the teacher who was regularly intoxicated during class this year, thank you for using yourself as an example to teach students about the dangers of alcoholism. Being escorted by police out of school left a lasting impression. I hope that future students and staff learn from these examples. Thank you, class of 2019.
Him. 98.5 to Sports Hub, we're Tutcher and Rich. So that was a valedictorian speech in California, and the girl kind of went off on the school.
Oh, I mean, just like to all the people who, to my guidance counselors who were never there, yet wanted to take credit when I was valedictorian, this has nothing to do with you, and you were no part of it.
And my point is, I can't think of another profession that would drive someone to drink during work hours more than being a teacher,
and we all
especially
seem,
at the high school level,
and all of us seem to have a story of a teacher who was drinking, or we assumed
there was one I assumed, okay. But I never, unfortunately, had an experience of someone being plastered.
No,
I mean, I don't even know if I would have been able to tell. But
this one, the one I had, once again, we never saw her do it, but she never taught us anything. Like, she just went in the back room where they kept all the science equipment, and then would come back out at the end of class. And she always was acting very erratic. At one point, she like threw a box for no reason.
Yeah, they don't pay enough money. Everyone gives you crap.
Yeah, I mean, so
I could see drinking during the day. Unfortunately, like if you're a garbage man, you can drink during the day if you're not the one driving. because I know a guy who was a garbage man back in Detroit. He's like, it's great, you can drink. It's like I can crack them at noon. All right, John, go ahead.
Hey guys, hey, can you hear me?
Yeah, we got you.
I was, I went to a pretty prestigious school for high school and even middle school, and we had a teacher that was nuts. And Fred, you're absolutely right. She was a history teacher. I think they buried her there. And about 3 years after high school, I was being trained on an ambulance, and the ambulance just happened to be in the same district as that school. And we got a call for someone going nuts, and we walked into the headmaster's office, and there she is. And she's throwing tables and chairs. She reeks of booze. She's wearing the same clothes she wore 3.5 years ago when I was a student. And it was just really awkward because not only was I in training, I was in front of a bunch of people that knew me really well. And my sister was a teacher at the school when this was all going down. And here I am to deal with this teacher. And we end up having to, like, wrestle with her, tackle her, strap her to the stretcher, and restrain her. And then we're going to the hospital, and she reeks of booze. She's nuts. And it gets even funnier because my training officer was a black guy, and she wouldn't talk to him. And then she asked him if he works for me. And I'm the guy in training. I thought he was going to kill her.
Oh, God.
But it was pretty wild. All she kept screaming after I told her he was in charge was, I have Master Medical. I could get a better ambulance.
I don't understand the throwing of chairs. I do understand sedating yourself. Carol's very upset. Carol, go ahead.
Morning.
Hello.
I take quite offense to the fact that you guys said just middle school and high school teachers. I teach fourth grade. I won't tell you where because I'll probably get fired, but it is our last day. But I don't know if you've ever worked with 5 year olds.
I know a lot of teachers, and yes, I know of stories of children going absolutely ballistic and having to get every kid out of the room and things like that. But
definitely,
yes. But I, for some reason, though, you know what? You go ahead, drink too. I take it back.
You get permission.
I take it back. Elementary, and then the kids aren't going to know any better. So go ahead and drink.
I love it.
All right, Carol. You go hang in there. Again, if there's a job that deserves someone drinking.
This is perfect because we're right at the finish line for everybody state. My kids, this is their last day of school. I mean, this is perfect.
And you know what's the worst? If you're a teacher, you can't have a Facebook page. You can't.
Oh, God, no.
Because I know of too many people who have, like parents who have either been friended or friended the teacher, and for some stupid reason, they ended up accepting the friendship, and then they see, like, your kid, like, I've seen mothers freak out over pictures over, like, her kids of teachers' Facebook page, and I'm like, what they do in their own life away from your kids is why you're judging them for that. I have no idea.
A teacher or a cop, you have to use a fake name. Like,
I know three different teachers that have Facebook accounts with fake names.
I know,
fake pictures, the whole deal.
I'm friends with like 10 cops.
Yeah,
all use fake names.
Absolutely.
Like completely fake names. Not even their first name.
Mm-hmm.
Like, and some of them are strangely like pornish, the names that they pick out.
It's like, what did Homer change his name to? Max Power? <That's right. laughs> Names like that?
Yeah, you can't. If you're a cop, you got to change your name on those things. John, go ahead. John.
Hey, guys.
Hey.
Love the show. Listen every day. I just wanted to touch on adversity when you guys were talking about it earlier. And I couldn't agree with you guys more on how kids these days don't face any adversity. Briefly, I would like to just tell you about my first-hand experience with adversity. I was born in the mid-'80s.
Okay, good. That's a long story. But, yeah, and even the definition of bullying has been expanded to this. I mean, it went from a very narrow kind of, you could understand it, and then the bullying, the term, is now gone insane.
Well, the main thing that would drive me crazy as a teacher are kids who feel entitled to a certain grade, and that happens a lot. Like, if they end up getting a test back, they bring it back home, and, like, the parents complain about it, and they make them go back and tell them, hey, you need to change this grade, or you need to be able to give me a chance to get extra credit, and that's like, no, we don't.
No, but no. I mean, but the definition of things is gotten a little out of control.
Somebody said my high school history teacher was sick for a few days, so the football coach subbed in. He didn't read the assignment. He was literally learning with us, so he popped in a VHS of the most recent Simpsons episode he recorded, and we watched that instead of learning.
Oh, yeah.
That's what I would do. Dude, there was one time where we watched, what movie was it? What was the one? Soylent Green. Do you remember Soylent
Green? Yes. Soylent Green is people.
It's people. We watched Soylent Green, and there's a scene in it that's like a full-on sex scene. And we were like in 10th grade or 11th grade at the time. And the teacher, like right in the middle of it, wasn't paying attention. And she heard like the class kind of laughing. And she went up and tried to fast forward it. She was old and just pressed pause. And so it was just pause right on like this like full nudity. And like she couldn't get it to change.
We had to watch Sybil.
Ooh. That's a tough one.
Yeah.
That's a tough one.
And that's good, like, when you're stuck in a room
and why the hell
watching Sybil.
And why are we watching Soylent Green in high school?
They have enemas in Sybil. We want to talk about a sex scene. Forced enemas.
Whoa, I don't remember that.
Yeah, it's
maybe I blacked it out. I don't know. She had
multiple personalities, and they would have these flashbacks to, like, the way her mother treated her.
Oh, my gosh.
It was a nightmare. I have anxiety anyway. I don't need you to put these ideas in my head. Robert, go ahead.
Hey, morning, guys.
Hey,
when I was my senior year of high school, I needed another math course, and I was trying to get into this advanced calc AP course, and the teacher was a raging alcoholic, and she hated all jocks, so I had, like, no chance of getting in. So I ended up just taking this rudimentary algebra course that I took in eighth grade, and the teacher knew me because he had also taught me trig and geometry. So he's like, hey, I'm going to go ahead and take this period off, and he made me teach the class the whole year. and I was really kind of pissed about it. Oh, but the nice thing was, as a graduation present, he took me to a strip club the last day of school.
What district is this?
Well, no, let's not get into that.
My God,
tell you what, that's the least you could do.
Say it's a proper thank you.
Yeah. I think you owed a little more than that. Taught him the whole semester.
Yeah, you gave the guy
I'll see you in June. I'll be right back.
I mean, poor Xana dude can't even get out to make a frustrated phone call.
No, he cannot. I think of some of the stuff that these teachers get away with. And I don't know if social media nowadays makes it so that can't ever happen, anything like that again. But I still think back to the time for an entire week I missed all of my classes because they had me and the rest of the freshman football team sod the brand new soccer field. Like, they, instead of hiring a team to go out there and do it, they got like all 40 of us or everybody on the team just to miss all of our classes for a week.
Soccer
to lay
or football?
Sod. No, it was the new soccer field.
Oh, I thought it was football field too. That's what I remember.
Well, you have to understand, it was the football team. This school that I went to was weird. Like, it was almost like a kind of a college campus type thing. It was very strange. They got some weird grant, even though it was like in the trashiest part of the anus of Georgia. And they gave us, like, they got us, they said, you're going to miss all the classes, not just like one or two. And we sat out there. We had lunch outside.
Seems like a, you know, nice lesson of manual labor.
Apparently so.
All right. So Chris Forsberg.
Dan just said that's the scene from Shawshank, isn't it?
Yeah. It was a lot like forced labor. All right. Chris Forsberg covers the Celtics for NBC Sports Boston. We will talk to him about this whole Kyrie Irving situation and so much more in a moment.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
Do you like to watch?
The answer is simple.
Follow the Sports Hub on the Twitch app.
They are spectacular.
Toucher and Rich on 98.5, the Sports Hub.
You lately have been scaring the hell out of Celtics fans because of all the talk about you possibly wanting to go and leave to go to the Knicks after this is all done and over with. Please.
Which is easy to kind of follow. Yeah, I'm from New Jersey, you know, but it's also just a rumors. Say, which is, you know, it's like the timing. I go from a trade to now going to free agency. Like, oh, who is he getting traded to? And now it's like, where is he going? So it's like, yeah, you know, it's easy to draw that connection in New York City. But honestly, you know, why would I want to leave here?
The Sports Hub, we're Toucher and Rich. Chris Forsberg covers the Celtics for NBC Sports Boston.
Hearing that clip there even pisses me off more about how things went down with Kyrie.
All right, I have to finish this read, and then you may go ahead.
Oh, you've got the thing?
Yes, he joins us on the Volkswagen Dealers Expert Hotline.
He just, at the time, during media day, we did two media days with him, and he seemed like a good guy. Like, he didn't seem like combative or anything like that, and I know that is the paradox that is Kyrie Irving. At one point, he seems to be all in and charming, and then he says to come talk to me on July 1st, and it's been just a weird couple of months. But I know that Chris Forsberg has been reporting on the back and forth and what the hell goes on with the Celtics now, and some news broke yesterday. Chris, hey, what's up, man? Good morning.
What's going on, y'all? Good morning.
Hey. Okay, so what is it the news that broke yesterday mean, or at least, you know, Steve Volpett was writing about it as well, and I know you have been with Kyrie Irving. It seems like right now going to the Nets is inevitable.
Yeah, so I would say if you talk to anyone around the league, from agents to front office people, everyone seems to think he's going to Brooklyn. And I think, you know, Steve Volpett is infallible in what he reports, and I think he's correct in that everyone seems to think he's going there. You know, I've sort of been hesitant because I got to hear it from him. And I just think Kyrie's circle is so small that, you know, I think we're left connecting dots. But certainly where there's smoke, there's fire, and it certainly feels like all indications are Brooklyn. But, you know, Kyrie just, I don't know, it's so hard to get a read on him that I'm just sort of in wait and see mode, and people think I'm crazy for that. But I don't know, dude, just listening to that clip from the start of the season, it's wild in my mind how things went off the rails so quickly. Just like you said, he sounds like so positive and so optimistic, and then by February 1 he was in ask me July 1st mode. It's just, I think there was a lot of frustrations from the season. I thought after the year ended there would be some time for guys to kind of decompress and you know, sort of look at what the future brought. And so, I don't know, it's just weird for the Celtics too, because they're sitting there and they haven't gotten any indication that he's not coming back, and they're trying to pursue this Anthony Davis trade, and there's just a lot of dominoes to fall before they can sort of sort everything out and figure out what direction they go in.
Okay, so he may not go to the Nets, you know, he may or may not, but what are the chances that he stays? Because that was another thing that was out there, is that he has not completely written off the Celtics.
And Volpett states that the situation is fluid. Just because Kyrie Irving believes this now doesn't mean he'll believe it a week from now.
Yeah, and part of what I always caution is that, like, remember, everyone has agendas in terms of what they're trying to get done. And when the Nets first made that trade and you hear Kyrie has interest in it, I sort of sat there and said, well, is this Kyrie's camp putting a little pressure on the Celtics? Like, hey, look, Brooklyn looks pretty nice. Like, maybe make sure you go out and do that Anthony Davis trade and don't get hesitant on that because, like, I need him there if I'm going to come back. Maybe I'm overreading that situation, but I do think there's still a chance that Kyrie will ultimately come back. And it's funny because, like, I say that, and then, like, I get half Celtics fans in my Twitter mentions yelling at me, like, we don't want him back. You know, he doesn't belong here. And the other half sort of understand that if the Celtics are going to reach their title goals, it's probably at least helpful that he's here and part of whatever it is moving forward. And that doesn't necessarily mean he's here for 4 years, 5 years, whatever it is. It might just mean it's their best chance forward and the best chance to recoup assets further down the road. I still think that door is open, but, you know, again, it's hard to ignore that everyone in the league sort of has this belief. I do think, too, that the Kevin Durant injury changes things maybe a little bit. Like, you know, is Kyrie maybe just a little bit more reluctant to examine situations like New York and Brooklyn if he knows that KD can't be out on the court in year one, or if KD elects to just take the supermax and or even if he just opts in, and even though that seems unlikely, I do wonder if it just adds another wrinkle to the decision making process.
Is there any chance at all, Chris, that, you know, Danny Ainge convinces Kyrie Irving, all right, I'm going to trade for Anthony Davis. Why don't you sign a one-year contract, a one-on-one deal, which LeBron James is doing in Cleveland, and say, why don't you try it with Anthony Davis for 1 year, and we'll revisit this next year, and I can convince both of you guys to stay.
Yeah, I've always kind of thought that's maybe the most likely scenario. And I know that probably scares the hell out of Celtics fans, the idea of going through what we just did all over again, sort of the not only the uncertainty of Kyrie looming over the season, but then the running parallel, the uncertainty of Anthony Davis. But ultimately, if that's the only way to get them both back next season, and your best chance of either making a title run, and then, you know, you figure that stuff out down the road. And I know, like, it's not ideal, but very few things in the NBA are ideal and work the way you want. Like, you'd prefer that Kyrie sign a 5-year contract. You prefer that Anthony Davis get traded here and do the Kevin Garnett and sign an extension and want to be here. But if ultimately your job is to get them here and then make that pitch, and if it blows up in your face and they walk away, you know, ultimately you would still likely have a very clean cap sheet for the 2020 summer. There would be the chance to go out and pursue other stars. And now the market might not be as robust as it might be this year or in future years, but you'd still be in position to sort of reload on the fly. You would be less assets because whatever you'd have to give up to get Anthony Davis. So that makes it a little bit more imperative for Ainge to not part with so much in a Davis trade. But I just don't think it's as dire as sometimes we make it out to be, that if they do make this huge gamble, it's not like they just fall off the face of the earth if both Davis and Irving depart after 1 year.
Okay, so Chris Forsberg, let's say the Celtics do end up making that deal with New Orleans. And realistically, we're talking about Marcus Smart, Jason Tatum no longer being on this team. I would think that those are probably the two parts that they would want more than anything.
I'll just add there real quick. I think the Celtics will fight hard not to give up Marcus Smart as part of that deal. But, you know, again, it goes back to it. Like, I've always thought the all-in move is New Orleans, like, digging in and be like, listen, we need Tatum, Brown, and Smart. And Smart's in there because it makes the money work and it's the easiest path. I think a lot of the reason we've heard so much rumbling about three teams trades is that, one, the Celtics don't want to have to just kind of throw Smart in there to make money work. And I think they'd be eager to find a situation where they could deal, whether it's draft picks or whatever, and get another team involved to defray that. But the other part of it is, like, you know, I think New Orleans probably has alternate goals too. They've got to figure out, like, what do they want necessarily back? Is it better for them to have a young, like, leader like Smart, or do they need just, like, young assets and chips and guys that can help them build? So that'll be a delicate dance about how it all comes together. But certainly Tatum, I think, is the centerpiece, and then, you know, you sort of work out from there.
Okay, so which leads to my question. Let's say Kyrie ends up going somewhere else, but Danny still makes the deal to get Anthony Davis here, and you've got Jason Tatum's no longer here, and one of the two, Jaylen Brown or Marcus Smart, is not here. Is that a good enough team? Is that a good enough team to win a championship if you have Anthony Davis, Gordon Hayward, and Al Horford as your three guys? Is that a good enough team to win?
I did in Toronto show last night that if the Warriors are suspect with their injuries, that there's a chance.
Oh, but they got a murderer. I mean, Kawhi Leonard is just an absolute assassin.
No doubt. And Anthony Davis has to prove, like, remind everybody that 2 years ago he was the best player in basketball, but he's also never shown it on the playoff stage, right? Like, they had a couple of decent runs, but he's never shown that he can rise the way Kawhi does, and he certainly doesn't have the championship pedigree. I'm not saying it's as easy as, okay, you've got you're one of the top five guys, but I do think if you have Horford, Gordon Hayward, if Gordon Hayward gets anywhere close to what he used to be, if you have Jaylen Brown or Marcus Smart, if you figure out your point guard situation, whether that's Rozier or going out and finding someone else to plug that gap, I still think you're talented enough in a league that, you know, it's hard to get a read on how things will look. But, okay, if Kevin Durant doesn't go to New York, if Kyrie just goes to Brooklyn but it just has a young core and it's not Anthony Davis or KD, it's Tobias Harris or, you know, whoever else is out there, Jimmy Butler. Like, I do think the league is open enough where a team with a top five player and three potential, you know, former All-Stars around them would have a chance to be successful. So I think Boston would be competitive in that instance. Again, the whole, like, idea of, oh, he's going to leave after a year would be hanging over the season, and there would be no doubt the expectations that you had last year. But I do think there's a chance they could be a title contender with that group, even without Kyrie.
You brought his name up. I've been of the firm belief that if and when Kyrie Irving leaves his team, Terry Rozier will be the starter, because all of his anger will go away once he's given 35 minutes a game.
Well, Danny even kind of intimated that.
Yeah, when we talked to him. And he's better than any other option you could bring in as a free agent, considering your cap problems. So do you believe that's the case?
Yeah, you know, when I look at the list of available point guards, I mean, are you going down the Rondo road? Or, like, I know people romanticize this Isaiah Thomas idea, and, you know, everyone roots for the guy, but I just don't know if that's the path you go. And, I mean, does Ish Smith do anything for you? So I do think there's a good chance that you sort of plug Terry into that role as long as the money's right. Like, if he comes out and someone bowls him over the summer with a big money offer, you know, I think maybe they're a little bit more reluctant in that part. But if they can get him back at reasonable money, and the idea that, you know, he knows the system, he's proven that he can play at a high level on a big stage, like, I don't know how it'll work. I don't know how Terry Rozier will fear as an everyday starter, but you've got to just trust that there's enough talent around him that that if you do have someone like Marcus Smart still on this team, there's ways to defray the ball handling. Gordon Hayward would still be out there. So I feel pretty confident that they would be confident in Terry out there. But certainly it's funny that, you know, Terry should have realized that before he went on his sort of scorched earth media tour right after the season. And yet, I think a lot of the Celtics just laughed it off and sort of understood, like, hey, everyone was frustrated last year. But the one thing I am reluctant with Terry is that media tour sort of said to me, like, what's important to Terry? Is it winning, or is it making sure that Terry Rozier gets paid and is in the spotlight? Like, he has to realize that, you know, if on a team with championship goals, everyone has to sort of buy in and sacrifice. And I wonder if he could embrace that. He'd certainly have the starting role, but he'd have to sort of change his mindset a little bit.
Yeah, that was funny when he was on ESPN and they just said, you're hanging out all day. Keep talking.
Yeah, you're right. We're not letting you leave.
Yeah, you're going to be on every show.
All right. NFL Live, like, they just threw him on everything.
Yeah, because I imagine that wasn't supposed to happen. And then they were like, wow, you're saying a lot of S. So here we go. Chris Forrest, go ahead.
I was going to say, well, we have Terry on post-up all year, and I've chided him and said that you need to save all those hot takes for when you're on our air and not ESPN.
Yeah, he's pushing for something. He doesn't want to be local. He wants national, Chris. All right, Chris Forsberg from NBC Sports Boston. Always a pleasure, sir.
Hey, thanks, guys. Take care.
See you, man.
Appreciate it. Here are the headlines. 98.5,
the Sports Hub. BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
There's someone very special I want you guys to meet.
Toucher and Rich.
I just want to tell you both good luck.
On 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Ah, Frank Sinatra. Frankie, me boy, you don't know. You haven't heard the voice to sing calypso. What did they say? Frankie, me boy, you don't know. You haven't heard the voice to sing calypso.
98.5, the Sports Hub. We are Toucher and Rich. And I will tell you this, is Kellen Winslow Jr. is not a good person. He is a very bad person. And there is a Sports Illustrated story that talks about his time in the NFL. And it's very Charles Haley-esque.
Well, I mean, the reason he's in the news right now is because he was just convicted of rape.
Yeah, he's a terrible...
Indecent exposure, yeah, lewd conduct.
There was kidnapping charges that were brought up.
Yeah.
He's a terrible, terrible, terrible person. But it's also weird in that this is psychopathic behavior, and I'm not sure why it was tolerated. You know me, Rich. I'm an open-minded cat.
Oh, yes.
I don't like to, you know, whatever your proclivities are, that is fine to me.
Not a lot of finger wagging. Definitely not a lot of pearl clutching.
No, I figure if it doesn't bother, if it's not affecting me and it's not hurting anyone, go about your business. If you want to shoot heroin, what's my problem? Go ahead. However, there's behavior that is so weird that I would have questioned the man's sanity immediately, and I don't want to make light of his crimes, and I'm not trying to. I would have said this is a psychopathic behavior. He's obviously capable of doing something awful.
Like, you want to look for a red flag? This is a red flag as big as Mount Rushmore.
Yeah, this is like an art project where they cover the Eiffel Tower with a red flag.
Right.
It's like, so, Kellen Winslow, he's playing in the NFL. And he would count on having an empty seat next to him on any team flight due to the ritual of watching hardcore pornography on his portable DVD player. First of all, who is one of those? According to those sources, on one occasion, the equipment manager tasked with delivering gear to lockers after hours walked in on Winslow masturbating at his locker two seats away from the entrance, according to team officials familiar with the incident. Now, you are watching pornography on a team flight. That is something that you can't do. You can't. If you want to watch pornography, have at it. If it's consenting adults, do your best. I don't care what you're into. Two consenting adults, God bless you. Now, on an airplane, and I'm sitting next to you, and you're watching hardcore pornography, it's going to raise a red flag to me in that this. You do it in the bathroom or in the bedroom. This is not the place you do it, not in public. And certainly, like, what's going on after hours in the locker room where you feel the need that you have to relieve yourself of that time? I mean, I find it odd that people take craps at work, let alone this. I mean, go home.
So Haley used to do that, but it would be like...
Well, no, Haley was not pornography. You would look over in a team film session, and he'd be playing with himself. All right. So this goes on. When pornography became widely available on mobile phones, he often watched it on his smartphone during meetings. Two teammates had reported this. Teammates begged out of shared hotel room assignments with Winslow because he watched pornography and masturbated openly.
Could you imagine that? Like, I mean, when they're putting the names together, because, I mean, most of these guys have to share a room. And she's like, all right, who got Kellen Winslow? And then you're just sitting there going, you've got to be kidding me.
Yeah.
How do you just not fear, like, just fear for your life? You'd be scarred for life sitting in there.
Yeah. Like, you know, at least wait for me to leave. Openly. Later on his career, after being sent to Tampa Bay via trade, Winslow acquired a life-size silicone mold of a woman's torso. Now, I have told you that those should be illegal.
Yeah.
Because there's objectifying women, and then there's just a torso. Like the woman is just a torso. Like, the FBI should track everyone who buys one of those things. Like, at least a sex doll is like a complete woman with like a head. Like, you've taken a woman and made her just a torso. Do you know how sick that is?
But he would bring it on the road with him.
But there's like a fleshlight situation.
He would bring it on the road with him.
A fleshlight situation, but that's not like it's not supposed to be a woman.
It's like a
psycho. Like, all you care about is the torso. So why does it even have to be a torso? What about that is erotic? I mean, okay, so he says, later in his career, after being sent to Tampa Bay via trade, Winslow acquired a life-size silicone mold of a woman's torso, complete with, you know, everything else. This is in Sports Illustrated, so don't get mad at me. Complete with, you know, the whole deal there, both sides, to bring with him on road trips, according to one former assistant coach.
Just what, I mean, you have to talk to him. I mean, if you're a guy staying in the hotel room with him, you have every right to file a grievance against the team.
No, the team should have immediately institutionalized the guy. I mean, you're bringing a fake woman's torso on the road with you? Coach says he was infantile, just very transparent. It's a team official. With Kellen, everyone knew what he was about, video games and effing.
Imagine like getting like having a roommate. Just having a roommate. Like you ended up answering an ad, and you show up and you meet the guy, and he seems somewhat normal. And then you walk into his room and you see that sitting on the bed. I mean, you have to break all ties. You have to run. At that point, you're just like, I can't be in this place. But imagine your work requiring you to share a room overnight with a gentleman who has one of those apparatuses.
And is using it in front of you.
You want to talk about like, sometimes I think the whole, you know, the NFL bullying stuff is a little overblown. Dude, that is like the definition of a terrifying workplace environment.
It's not bullying. It's psychopathic behavior.
What I mean is like a company putting you in a position
right.
where you feel like you are either you're in danger or you're just so wildly uncomfortable.
Yeah, and the fact that everyone knew, like he would obviously dance around with his torso everywhere. Like he was like, obviously they all know about it. He was pretty proud of the whole thing. I mean, in college, I had my roommate move out because I was having sex with a girl often, and he wrote a little op-ed piece in the newspaper about it.
Do you still have it?
Whoa.
No, but it was in the, if you can go look at the...
Your roommate moved out
because
you were having too much sex with a woman.
In the room, while he was in the room.
Okay.
Well, and that to that, John, I'll say... I was allowed to have sex.
I was just going to say, when you're 18 or 19, rules and away from home for the first time for a long period of time.
And then you figure out.
Rules,
and like,
you don't really think about the rules that way.
And it's like the third time you've ever gotten laid.
Yeah.
You're going to. I mean, the lights were off and everything.
Okay, but so I just want to just stop here for 1 second. The op-ed piece he wrote for the school newspaper, the Rollins School Newspaper.
Newspaper.
Okay. And everyone knew who, did he mention you by name or just everyone knew who you were?
If you can find, okay, Nick just said, what's his name? I don't remember his name. Go to the archives of I think it was called the Sandpiper.
Oh, if we can find this.
Eddie, the guy who's fresh off the boat was the editor of it at one point. But it has to be 93 or 94, either the fall of 93 or the spring of 94.
I mean, you get our listeners on that. By the way, someone said, Fred, what's the worst nightmare, having to sit off Kellen Winslow on a plane or everyone clapping as the plane lands?
I would say Kellen Winslow. I told you I have a friend, now deceased, that at one point, I just got to throw that in and make you guys feel bad.
Sure.
But he got so drunk on a plane, he bought a Hustler. And was holding the Hustler up and like showing it to everybody on the plane.
Dude, I felt weird watching Game of Thrones. Like, I had to stop watching it at one point.
Anything with nudity. Yeah.
Because I remember there was one point I was watching it and there was, you know, obviously one of the many scenes. And I go, immediately, I'm like, what am I doing?
No,
and I had to shut down my laptop.
You gotta shut it down. You can't have nudity on your computer. I agree with you. Not on an airplane. They're about tied. Kellen Winslow looking at, you know what? It's a tie. If everyone started cheering or Kevin Winslow was watching pornography, I think that it's a tie.
Somebody said Kellen Winslow passed the remote to his roommate. It's Buffalo Bill lowering the bucket.
Yeah.
I mean, that would be terrifying.
But I mean, if you wanted to look at any signs, and I blame, and I'm in all seriousness, I like kind of blame these teams for not like investigating or having them go to some sort of therapy.
Yeah, instead of passing the buck. I agree.
I mean, there's very few behaviors as disturbing as that. Very few.
Well, I mean, you know how it goes. As long as you're still making plays, they don't care.
But the thing is, Winslow is hurt so often.
Yes.
He really didn't make a ton of plays. And you're saddled with that personality and his habits. And as it turned out, his off-field activities.
Yeah, he's a psycho. He's a psychopath. He's a terrible person.
Would you rather sit by Winslow or attend one of the Grateful Dead reunion shows?
Am I allowed? Are the rules off and I can fight?
you just fight anyone?
I can pick out like the smallest hippie to beat up? And no one can jump in or I won't get arrested?
Sure.
Like I get to scan the place and find someone I can actually beat up?
I'll even give you a stick.
No, I don't need a stick. They'll have sticks because they can juggle with them. All right. The ninth annual, I can... the behavior is not always great at these things, but there's certainly no public masturbation. The ninth annual Hoosier Caddy Classic is happening Monday.
Why don't you just save the plug until we get back?
I'm just thinking maybe
there's
distance.
No way to transition
maybe,
from
maybe
that.
Just kind of create some distance here.
No, this is the time to do it. The ninth annual Hoosier.
Hang on. Let's cleanse the palate with a little.
Boom, boom, boom. Okay.
Well, this is Robert Kraft.
Yeah, just, you know, just
so you're saying we're taking, like, revolving this down to the level of.
Oh, boy, that was unintentional.
Yeah, I was just going to say, what the hell are you doing?
Jesus. So I don't have a
you
problem.
You are not helping. Like, I don't what the hell is wrong now, with you?
Now, Robert Kraft was not doing psychopathic behavior.
No.
Robert Kraft was just being a guy.
I know, but. It's still a visual you don't want.
I was just trying to find something up being happy.
It's not working.
After the disturbing story, that was just right over my screen, and now...
Hoosier Caddy, this is not... Kellen Winslow's in jail. He's not going to be there. The ninth annual Hoosier Caddy Classic is happening Monday, July 15th at 2 p.m. at the Atkinson Resort and Country Club, just across the border in Atkinson, New Hampshire, starting Monday morning at 9. You can reserve your spot at 98.5 The Sports Hub. It always sells out in like a couple minutes. And it's a good deal. $150 per player. You get lunch and dinner. All to benefit the pediatric advanced care team at Boston Children's Hospital. Tony Maserati will be there. Will be there. Hardy will be there. And a bunch of Sports Hub people. Hoosier Caddy Classic. That's 98.5thesportshub.com for details. Did you find an archive of the Rollins newspaper? He doesn't name me, but I swear to God, I swear on the Bible, well, I swear to God that that's true. He doesn't name me, but he talks about what an awful roommate he has and that there was fornication while he was in the room. He's a big fan of Calvin and Hobbes. His side of the room had lots of Calvin and Hobbes.
All right, now we got to find this. We have to find it. Now that I know it exists, I need to see this.
Yeah. A lot of Calvin and Hobbes cartoons that you cut out. All right, we'll be right back.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking 5 of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on 5 we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top 5? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
Or top. Listening at home to Toucher and Rich is simple with your Amazon or Google smart speaker.
Oh, I need one of those.
Just say, play 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Okay, K. 98.5 The Sports Hub, we're Toucher and Rich. My sister-in-law is in town, my parents are coming in today. And so my house is not big enough to fit all these people. There's too many living things in the house. There's no space.
All right, we have a almost a mandatory hotel thing with our place. We're like, you got to stay at a hotel.
That doesn't fly. Because my house is like straight up. It's not the floors aren't big, but there's 3 floors, 4 if you count the basement. So when everyone's together, you're dealing with a very small area. There's a sectional couch and then this like very tiny place to sit.
Hope your dad likes the Jersey Shore.
I mean the latest Paulie and Vinny dating show was on last night. My daughter and I will have to catch that today.
Mm-hmm.
But so like there's a sectional, and what my father will do is he will lay on the sectional, and thereby forcing the other my mom, kids, wife, myself. And the 6 of us to fend for ourselves. And he'll eat apples And he will leave cores all around. And if you know anything about my wife, she's extremely obsessive compulsive.
Oh, boy.
Yeah.
Is there a lot of... Now, does he hijack the TV? Is it kind of like... I brought you, I raised you, so I have, what does he call it, declares first night on your television?
Well, Fox News for everybody.
Yeah, it is. There is a lot of Fox News. Yeah, he is obsessed with Fox News and with the U.S. Open. Oh, that's going to be on, which is going to be an exciting time.
There's a kid from, like a local kid, who apparently is in 40th place, and he's like 17 right now in the U.S. Open.
Must be nice.
I forget where he's from, but he's killing it. I think he shot a 71 or something.
That firefighter from Brockton, Parziali's in this tournament also.
Okay. Yeah, but it's like a 17-year-old.
No,
kid.
I know who you're talking about, guy, but it's,
what's he sitting at? You going to make the cut?
I had not looked. I have not looked to see where Parziali is.
Well, that would be a nice human interest story that you just kind of glossed over.
It's true.
You think that would make the headlines or something like that?
I know he's not in the top five.
No one really cares about the Red Sox right now. So
that's a good point. I'll leave with that next.
Jerry Alex Cora yesterday goes, well, I guess the spotlight's on us now.
Yeah.
After the Bruins lost. I'm like,
not really.
Right. Not until September.
No. Well, who knows? Probably not. So
yeah, we only have about 5 weeks until Patriots training camp. There's like that small window, and things change again.
It's not even
and
that.
It's 5 weeks that I can't go anywhere.
It's a countdown. Well, it's a countdown to Hard Knocks. It's a countdown to Hard Knocks, Oakland Raiders. To be honest,
no. It's, what is that? First week of August, right?
August 5th, I think, is the debut, and that's just going to
I'm
be
all in.
So glorious.
It's very rare that I am all in on a Hard Knocks before it starts,
because you know what's sometimes Hard Knocks sucks when there's you'll see it teased, and you'll be like, oh yeah, there's this one guy that I hope they concentrate on. And then it ends up being 5 minutes of that, and then they find some random doofus, and you're like, oh, why are they trying to make this person a star? Now, Cleveland was great because that random doofus we ended up getting was the offensive line coach, Bob Wiley, who was hysterical.
Hey.
Every time he said a word, his like stomach would bounce up, and his man breast would jiggle. There's been years past where this roster, the amount of stars that are going to be in the Raiders, it goes like 10 deep. Like, there's like 10 people that any of them could
it's
be
where
a star.
I am with my Whoppers right now. 10 deep.
You've had 10 Whoppers, Bob Wiley, have you?
Yeah. They call them Whoppers, but they don't. They ain't. Well, when I say Whopper, I'm thinking something like, I don't know. Here we go. 2, 3, 4. Hey, 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 everybody, can you get me a diaper? I'm having trouble controlling my bowels. Hey, 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 I'm a little baby.
You're a baby.
I'll pay you if you change your diapers.
Did you get another job anywhere? Bring him to the Patriots.
Wah, 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 I'm an infant. Googly, 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 oh, I'm an infant. Hey, 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 I made a mess.
You took a turn into a really weird territory, those man
put babies. Me in a man crib and let me see, baby, pacify you. I've been a bad boy and I need some food.
What do they call those man baby people?
Peas, 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 stewed peas and carrots. Feed me, cuz I am... Feed me, cause I'm an infant.
Just went down a dark road.
I got a fetish.
Yeah, yes. For some reason, that's the one that really creeps me out.
Yeah,
that's man, babies.
That's a creepy one.
I'm not. That's
weird. I've clicked on that by accident.
There was a guy in Phoenix.
Really?
My sister used to live in Phoenix. My sister-in-law, and there was a guy that they called Baby Man, who just used to walk up and down like the main drag, dressed like a baby, and he had like a bonnet and he would do it on a daily basis. He didn't have a job, I don't think. His job was to walk up and down the street dressed like a baby.
What web page were you on where you clicked man baby by accident?
No. It wasn't. It was. It was like a hot chick, and then I clicked on it, and it was a story of why the guy the way he was the way he was. But it started with him like pretending to be a baby. So it was very disturbing. I got off of it.
Understood. Okay.
So we just said Bob Wiley just took the strangest turn ever.
Yeah.
I mean, he's an adult guy, but he was like dressed like a baby.
No, yeah. I get it. Yeah. I'm picking up what you're putting down.
There was a John Waters movie where they had those in it, and I had to turn it off.
Yeah.
I couldn't watch it.
It's creepy.
It was one with Johnny Knoxville, Low Down Dirty Shame, I think it was called. I had to turn it off. Yeah.
All right. The NHL Awards have announced its star-studded
I mean, okay, we'll get to it. I have the lineup for you, Fred.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.